Today's podcast session is supported by Upheal. So if you ask a therapist who's doing clinical work what the bane of their existence is, usually progress notes are in the top 1 to 2. I'm not naming any names, but when I was doing clinical work, I remember I had several colleagues who would get so backed up on clinical notes, so they would end up spending their nights and weekends trying just to catch up. Honestly, who wants to do that? And this is where Upheal comes in. Upheal is AI-powered case notes. Now, I know for many of us, when we hear the word AI, there's like a natural skepticism. And honestly, I had that skepticism as well until I got to meet with the Upheal team and learn about some of the many ways that they are doing this in a way that is HIPAA-compliant and also doesn't sell data to anyone and also protects our clients as well. You can learn more about Upheal and the awesome work that they're doing in the world by going to sellingthecouch.com/Upheal. And Upheal is spelled U-P and then H-E-A-L, all one word. And at checkout, be sure to enter the promo code COUCH25, C-O-U-C-H, and the number 25 to get 25% off your Upheal plan for the first 2 months. Hello, hello. Welcome to today's session of Selling the Couch. I hope that you're doing well and having an awesome day. So today's podcast is a conversation / coaching call with Dr. Elizabeth Pinella. Ellie is a licensed psychologist down in Florida, and who particularly works with families of anxious kiddos. And Ellie is in our online course mastermind, and so I've gotten to know her over the past year. And, you know, we've had multiple conversations on various different things, but one of the things that we've talked about is this tension that we feel with social media, right? As you make that transition, right? And even in private practice, right? There's a lot of wisdom in being online and on social media because that's where people are hanging out, right? And creating content around that. But whether it's personality or whether like we as clinicians sort of understand the dangers of social media, like the dopamine hits, the sort of addictive, you know, potential of it, all of that stuff, it's a tension that we're talking about today, right? How do you be on social media if you actually don't really like social media? It's something that I've struggled with STC. I mentioned this on the conversation, but you know, I'm kind of glad I started in podcasting because the thing with podcasting is you pre-record everything and then you release it and you don't explicitly have to be there. And you know, when it does release, which is like super beneficial. But I also recently started writing on LinkedIn, doing a little experiment, and I've liked writing on LinkedIn and sharing sort of my knowledge as, you know, making this transition from psychologist to online course creator. And yet there's a weird tension that I've been feeling on it of like, you know, at times, I don't know, I think part of it's just a season of life, but like, you know, I'm recording this in late January, but I do notice like since I've gotten on LinkedIn, I feel like a little bit more anxious and a little bit more not myself. Now, granted, I think there are other life stuff and business stuff going on. We're in the middle of a launch. I think all of these are all connected, but it's just making me kind of think about how to show up on LinkedIn and how to show up on all these different platforms. So that's what we're talking about today. And basically we're going to chat about, you know, some of the really practical things to do that, you know, I've been implementing to guard your time on social media, to be really intentional about it, but also to kind of create content so that you're not having to be there in order to show up on social media. Like you're not feeling that pressure to show up when you can just show up when you want to. So we'll get right to today's podcast conversation. Here's my conversation with Dr. Elizabeth Pinella from elizabethpinella.com. Hey, it's Melvin. Before we jump into today's podcast session, just wanted to take a moment to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for taking the time to listen to this podcast and taking the time out of your day to listen. You know, when I launched this podcast back in 2015, it was done with a lot of fear and a lot of uncertainty. And I just never realized the impact that it would have on so many. And for that, I'm just so humbled and so grateful. If you do find the podcast helpful, if you could do a small favor for me, which is to subscribe to the Selling the Couch podcast, the best way to do that is to go to sellingthecouch.com/listen and subscribe on your favorite channel and on your favorite device. Practically, this allows the podcast to be able to reach more people, for us to increase our download numbers, which also helps us to land bigger guests so that we can serve you through these guest interviews. Have a wonderful day, and I hope that you enjoy today's session. Hey, Ellie, welcome to Selling the Couch.
Hey, Melvin.
It's been wonderful to get to know you over the past year as part of our mastermind. You're one of the most kind and sincere people that I've just generally met. And it's been amazing to see you like really come into your own and see your giftings, you know, despite like life and all so many things happening, right? And so I'm like super grateful for this conversation. I know we're going to have a good conversation on a topic that you and I have a mutual love-hate with. So,
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're so welcome. So maybe we'll start here, right?
Well, I just want to real quick just say thank you so much for those kind words, because I've like the mastermind community has just been like amazing. Like, I just feel like that has really truly impacted everything in terms of this online course building. Like, I just, it's been so awesome to get to know everyone in there and just have a place to talk about things like what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's the stuff, you know, I think you and I have been licensed around like the same time. So this is like year 10 of, you know, being licensed psychologist. And I will tell you, when I was in internship and postdoc, you know, I never got the memo like, hey, you'd be building a following on social media. Like, right. Right. Like, I would have thought, you know, maybe my clients are doing this, but there's no way I'm doing that. So it is an interesting time, you know. Yes. So we were talking right before I even started recording, and maybe you can sort of, I don't know if it's a question, maybe it's sort of a statement, right? Like, tell us, like, you know, where you are with this course creation journey. Well, first of all, tell us the course idea.
Sure.
And then tell us about this, like, social media tension. Maybe tension is not the right word, whatever the word is, right? I feel like.
So my online course is for parents of children who struggle with anxiety. And it's based on the SPACE intervention, which was developed by Dr. Ellie Lebowitz, a psychologist at Yale. So it's like an evidence-based protocol that via parents, we are helping kiddos just learn to cope with anxiety better. And I'm relying on that protocol, but also just infusing a lot of my own clinical experience over the last decade, because really starting in graduate school is when I just took a really keen interest on helping children and families who are struggling with anxiety, OCD, and related issues.
That's cool. I feel like most of us, right, when we think about like getting specialized training, we're like, you know, I want to do better clinical work. Where did this leap to online courses come from? Like, I could, you know,
present. So I'm a mom of two kiddos, and I love to be with them in the afternoons because they're in school most of the day. But what I was finding was like, I have limited afternoon spots in my private practice, and I wanted to still be able to help families. And so I've found myself doing a lot more parent work in private practice, which, you know, I can see parents at any time. It doesn't have to be in the afternoon. I mean, obviously they have their own limits in their schedule. And so I just felt like I wanted to serve continue to focus on serving parents. And I found that parents often just kind of feel alone in this process. They feel like nobody gets it. And so I thought doing it in a group format, I can kind of get some of this information out to more people. Parents can, you know, kind of see each other on their journey. And I can do groups, you know, at different times that accommodate to, you know, more of a parent-friendly rather than after school type schedules. Yeah, so it kind of came from there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think for most of us, right, as clinicians, right, like launching courses is not about sitting on some like beach 24/7, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Practically, I don't know how I actually do that, but it's about like, you know, designing it around like our life, right? And so it sounds like it's a cohort-based course, right? And is there plans to do like a traditional digital course as well?
Yeah, so I'm going to kind of just see how it evolves. So my first cohort will be in April of this year. And it's going to be an 8-week live cohort. First time, I intend to keep it just really small so that I can, you know, just kind of get my bearings in this format of like doing it via Zoom, doing it in a group format, because I've been doing it like mostly in person, some telehealth, you know, but one-on-one. And then taking the summer probably mostly off to like from the course, and then doing a second iteration of it in August. And I could see this evolving into like, you know, where some things are going to be more like pre-recorded video rather than learning everything live. So kind of not totally sure how it's going to evolve over time, but trusting the process that I'll kind of figure it out as I go.
Yeah. I mean, I think that mindset is the right one, because I mean, I'll tell you, like, I had one vision of how all of this would evolve for me, right? And we're going to be 8 years in, and man, like what I thought 8 years ago is so different than what it is now. And so I like that idea of just being flexible, taking it one step at a time. You and I have talked privately about this with this question or this thing that we're going to be talking about, which is our sort of mutual love-hate with social media. I feel like probably every therapist out there, most therapists at least, you know, sort of have this tension, right? And so tell us a little bit about that, and then we can definitely like workshop think through things.
Yeah. So pre-online course building, I just wasn't really on social media much. I mean, I had accounts for different things, but I certainly wasn't posting for many years, and would just kind of go on occasionally to, you know, see what some friends were up to and things, but that was the extent of it. And as I got more into the online course building world, I realized that it's actually important for me to be on there professionally. It's, you know, just to start to kind of, this sounds like, I feel like it already sounds salesy, but get my name out there. Like, but I need people to know me and to know what I have to offer if I ever expect them to walk into my course. And so that realization, like I totally get it on a business and kind of entrepreneur level, like why it's important. But personally, I still feel like, I don't like that feeling of just like all eyes on this post, like anybody can see this, and feeling like I need to be on there to check what's going on, to reply to comments, to comment on other people's things. It feels, for some reason, I just have this initial like reaction that makes it feel more like a task, like an obligation. And, you know, I've got to do it. I've got to do it if I want to. I feel like professionally, I get it why it's important. But yeah, there's that kind of push-pull.
Yeah. No, listen, I told you this before we started recording, but this is a tension that I constantly have. You know, it's kind of one of the reasons I like podcasting is because I can just record these and then just release them, and I don't have to like explicitly be there, like commenting and all of these things. Because I don't know. I don't know if it's an energy thing. I don't know if it's, you know, I'm an introvert. Like, I don't know if it's an introvert thing. Like, but I just, you and I both started, you know, around the same time writing on LinkedIn more. And I feel like my energy is different on LinkedIn. Like I like it. I like the meaning. Mm-hmm. I like the connections that I'm forming. Mm-hmm. but it has felt on some level like a task. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed, like, particularly, I think you're saying this, but like, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but like, I've noticed an anxiety there
mm-hmm.
that I hadn't felt when I was just doing podcasting. And even, you know, even I have the Facebook group, but there was, maybe that was there in the early days, but it didn't feel like that because it didn't feel this pressure to like respond right then kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I feel you know? So I don't know. Yeah. Like walk us through that. Like what you're going through. Cause I feel like you and I are probably very similar, and I feel like folks that are listening is very similar, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So the places where I've dabbled, let's see, I started on Twitter and then I kind of lost steam there pretty quick. I just felt like I wasn't getting much traction. It wasn't, I don't know. I switched gears, and then I went over to Instagram, which is where I've been showing up more consistently. You know, because my course is for parents of anxious kiddos, I kind of felt like Instagram was a place where I'd find more of interfacing with people who might be interested in, you know, in what I've got to offer. And then, you know, based on your feedback, I decided to get more active on LinkedIn, which I've been semi-consistent with over the last maybe 2 months or so. And I think I hear what you're saying about LinkedIn, about it being a place where it doesn't feel like you've got to be there all the time, like you've got to respond very quickly. I mean, certainly some people are doing that, but I don't feel that pressure. And also, though, on LinkedIn, it's like where all of my professional colleagues are, like, you know, other psychologists, people I went to grad school with, and, you know, just people I've met at different professional networking events. And, you know, as you know, Melvin, like most of these people are not creating online courses. And so there's a little bit of that tension of like, okay, I'm not like I'm every single post is about my online course, right? I'm posting things that are related to like tips for helping your child with anxiety and things like that. But I do kind of feel a little bit like, oh, like, what are, you know, kind of like that idea of like, what are they going to think that, what am I doing? And I'm like, I'm doing coaching and not, you know, it's not therapy, which I mean, still maintain my private practice, but right, my online coaching stuff is going to be different. So there's that shows up for me when I'm on LinkedIn. And and then on Instagram, it's just more of like, I think that feeling that pressure of like, oh, I've got to be there. I've got to, you know, I have to show up every single day and like try to comment on people's things and like respond if anybody's commented on my stuff. And then I also just feel like Instagram, like, you know, there's the reels and the stories and the adding sound and then the, you know, the trending audios. And I just, I'm like, this is beyond my level of tech savviness. And it, you know, I just see like, you know, I have a younger cousin who's like in her mid-20s and she's just like, boom, like she just puts these things together so quickly. Sometimes it's like her own like personal life stuff, but it's like catchy. And that's what works on LinkedIn. It's like, you know, a little video with like a trending audio and, you know, and you put it as a reel. But like, to me, like to create that, it like takes a lot of time and thought. And I just don't know how to navigate that stuff.
Hi there. I hope that you're enjoying today's podcast session. Before we get to the rest of this session, just wanted to let you know that we have a weekly email newsletter. It's called the SDC newsletter. I know, super creative, but we've literally been sending it pretty much every week since 2015. It's at this point now trusted by over 2,700 clinicians. And each week we share the latest podcast episode, some of the writing that I'm doing on LinkedIn with regard to my journey as a course creator and making this transition from psychologist in clinical practice to online creator and owner of an online business. And we also included a brand new section called On Mel's Mind, where I break down a blog post or a video or something that's inspiring me to become a better person and a better business owner. If any of that sounds interesting, I would love to have you sign up. You can sign up over at sellingthecouch.com/newsletter. We also have a bunch of different guides that we include. The current one that we have is an A to Z online course guide. So if you sign up through there, you get that guide absolutely free. It basically takes all of the lessons that I've learned as a course creator since 2015 and growing my own online course to over 270 students and over $315,000 in revenue. Just many of the lessons, but more importantly, the epic fails I've learned along the way. Again, it's over at sellingthecouch.com/newsletter, and we'll get right back to today's session.
Yeah, it's all of these platforms have their own nuances, right? And this is, I remember when I first started STC, I had this thought of like, because I kept hearing from people that said, you got to be everywhere online, right? Mm-hmm. And so what I took is you literally got to like create different accounts and be everywhere. And what I found is I got so anxious and overwhelmed, mm-hmm. and it was just too much. Like, you know, you're switching between like Facebook and LinkedIn and, you know, I was doing Pinterest at one point, right? And so this is like one thing I learned. Like, I was listening to this video, like I think maybe about a week and a half ago, they were saying, you know, in general, if you think your audience is there, it really doesn't matter the platform. What actually matters more is the consistency and just being on there, like longevity, because most people try to be on too many platforms and they can do it for a season, but it's really hard to sustain like month after month, if not year after year. And so, I don't know. I mean, like one thing I like this leap to LinkedIn for me has been only after 7 years of just doing podcasting, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm still like feeling it out because, you know, I told myself I'll do like a 3-month test of this because I want to see like energetically how it feels, because you and I were talking about this. There's this weird dopamine hit thing. Mm-hmm. That either if you haven't been on social media or you're doing something like a podcast where you don't have to like explicitly be there when things release, like I don't like that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know how else to say. I just don't like it. It makes me feel anxious. It makes me feel insecure. You know, it makes me feel like I have some like this fear of missing out.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. And I don't know. Like, what is it like for you?
Yeah. So it's interesting. I don't know why like the platforms, I mean, I guess the way they're designed, but they elicit different things for me. So like on Instagram, when I post something, I'm like, you know, kind of just feel like I'm checking it more frequently, like see what comments or just how it's going. Whereas in LinkedIn, I do feel like I can kind of leave it more. Maybe that's just me, like where I can just kind of check it the next day and comment on back to anything that was commented on. But and then I think the other piece, like just emotionally what comes up, like when I go back on to check, right, like the algorithm, it will show you other things that are, you know, that have done well. And then you see, you know, that, oh, wow, like this other post that was posted like just 20 minutes ago has already gotten all this, like, you know, these reactions. And here's my little post that I posted like 24 hours ago. And, it, you know, but then I'm like, why am I doing that? Why am I comparing myself to, you know, this other account? Like, I just, that. And then, you know, I'm on there from a, you know, kind of professionally to try to like, you know, engage with the folks that have maybe commented or, and then I get sidetracked and I'm like scrolling through and I'm like, well, this is not time well spent, like looking at other, you know, I get derailed and I just don't feel sometimes like I'm kind of managing my time well on social media.
Hi there. I hope that you're enjoying today's podcast session. Before we get to the rest of this session, just wanted to let you know that we have a weekly email newsletter. It's called the STC newsletter. I know, super creative, but we've literally been sending it pretty much every week since 2015. It's at this point now trusted by over 2,700 clinicians. And each week we share the latest podcast episode, some of the writing that I'm doing on LinkedIn with regard to my journey as a course creator and making this transition from psychologist in clinical practice to online creator and owner of an online business. And we also included a brand new section called On Mel's Mind, where I break down a blog post or a video or something that's inspiring me to become a better person and a better business owner. If any of that sounds interesting, I would love to have you sign up. You can sign up over at sellingthecouch.com/newsletter. We also have a bunch of different guides that we include. The current one that we have is an A to Z online course guide. So if you sign up through there, you get that guide absolutely free. It basically takes all of the lessons that I've learned as a course creator since 2015 and growing my own online course to over 270 students and over $315,000 in revenue. Just many of the lessons, but more importantly, the epic fails I've learned along the way. Again, that's over at sellingthecouch.com/newsletter. And we'll get right back to today's session.
Yeah, 100%. It's a tension that I have. Would it be helpful to share like some of the things that I'm doing at all?
Please. Yeah, that would be really helpful.
Okay. So the number one thing I did is I took off all of these apps off my phone and my tablet.
Mm-hmm.
Because I tried, like, I remember I was on Instagram for a little bit and LinkedIn too. These darn notifications, they like trigger you because you're like, you know.
Yeah.
And
oh yeah, I'm like militant about notifications on my phone. I don't allow anything to buzz me or anything other than like phone calls and texts. But yeah, that definitely helps.
Yeah.
So, I guess you just went to the extreme. You just said I'm taking them off. I have them on, but I have notifications 100% off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think you're more disciplined than me. I was like, if I see that icon, I'm probably going to click on it. So I took it off. I think the second thing, which again, I'm like so new to this, so I'm trying to just learn and figure it out because we have friends, right? Like, and that are on like these platforms all the time, right? And I was like, that doesn't feel like everyone has to do their own thing, right? But like to me, it didn't feel like energetically how I wanted to live.
Right.
And then also practically, like we've got young kids, like there's just other priorities, right? So what I've been experimenting with is just like time blocking.
Yeah.
So,
you're like, so good at that.
But it's a challenge. Like, but I hear you because I have to be so disciplined with this. But, you know, so like LinkedIn, right? Like, this is the challenge of these platforms. It's like as you get on there and you start posting more, there's more engagement. So you start growing, meet more people. And now you got to like go comment on their stuff. And I'm like,
right.
Like, I can't. You know, like, I'll tell you, like, let me just look real quick. I probably have a list of close to 40 to 50 people that I've bookmarked that I either have built relationships with. And so I realized, like, okay, a lot of these, like, experts were like, you need to be on insert X platform for an hour. And I was like, I tried the hour thing. I kid you not. I walked out of the room one day. Susan looked at me and she was like, what's wrong? I was like, I was on LinkedIn for 60 minutes. I don't want to talk to anybody. And I was like, well, that's not really sustainable. So I cut it in half.
Uh-huh.
But what I started doing is, so I bookmarked the people that I wanted to like, sort of had commented on my stuff. I felt like it was in alignment, but I started tiering them. So I have, you know, I said, you know, like one, I have like, people that have like are friends and or have like bigger accounts, right? Mm-hmm. That are sort of aligned. So I have one 30-minute spot where I'm interacting with those six accounts.
Okay.
And what I said, the other thing in my mind, I said, you know what? I don't want to do the frantic posting because I think that, you know, someone that struggles with anxiety, like that makes my anxiety worse. So I said, you know, what's a reasonable amount of time that I would want to engage with one person? I said, okay, 5 minutes. Okay. So if I'm only doing 30 minutes a day, then Mel, you got to pick six accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's it.
Right.
And that's hard because I'm still not there, you know? But
yeah.
So I just gave myself permission to say, like, I'm just going to focus on quality.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the next 30, like, you know, there's a slot that I have for you guys. Right, that are in the mastermind to make sure we, you know, engage. I have a larger one of like, just like LinkedIn friends, right? And it's a larger group. There's no way I can go through all of them. So I broke them into like two different days and try to engage with six or seven.
Yeah, that's, I've also, you know, we talked a little bit about this in our mastermind, but I went ahead and booked Mark some you know, accounts that I think would be helpful for me to just interact with more regularly. But what I find with LinkedIn, and maybe I haven't spent enough time searching, is like, I'm not finding nearly as many accounts that are like kind of speaking directly to parents that are kind of focused on that niche kind of, which is, I mean, like that's a broad thing, right? There's like parents deal with all kinds of issues. Yeah. And so, whereas in Instagram, that feels like really like salient, like it's like they're everywhere, accounts that speak to parents. And so, and Instagram makes it a lot harder to kind of bookmark stuff. I don't know. I kind of starred some accounts, but then I'm never clear. Again, this is where the tech savvy part comes in, where it's like, I probably just need to Google something about, find somebody who can teach me like, okay, if I want to prioritize, you know, interacting with these IG accounts, what's the best way to, you know, kind of bookmark them or?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think you know this, but if not, like anytime I've gone on Instagram, I actually do it through my computer. So I just go to Instagram.com and then I think you can then bookmark individual pages similar.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
yeah.
I don't know like enough about
on the Instagram. Phone. I don't know how to do it, but But yeah, you're right. I'd maybe just kind of, and maybe sitting down on my computer rather than like typing something out on the phone, somehow that can help me. Like, I feel like that would help me focus and kind of prioritize. Here's what I'm here to do, is like, look at these specific accounts.
Yeah.
Rather than getting lost in the, wherever the algorithm wants to take me.
Well, I mean, that's the challenge of these platforms, right? Because they want to do that, right? They want to keep you in the platform and kind of like, you know, mindless scrolling through. And it is super challenging. I haven't done this. I'm like curious about it because I've seen other people, like they'll actually like bring on like a virtual assistant or somebody to like comment on their behalf. Right. Mm-hmm. So they may write out like pre-made templates. And I don't know, like, I don't know how I feel about that yet, but I'm like looking also from an energetic perspective, like,
right,
you know, like,
yeah,
is that, I don't know, like a big step for me. And I know for a lot of us in the mastermind, it's like, we're taking this step from being in the work to like thinking like CEO, right? So there's a part of me, like as a CEO, like, I don't know that I want to be on these platforms like all the time. Like, it seems better to delegate that out. You know, but I haven't, you know, I haven't, I've seen people, like, I can tell when people are kind, not always, but like, I can tell, like, you know, when somebody has somebody else doing it for them, you know,
right.
And what I'm realizing is a lot of these bigger accounts, they're doing that because their time is, I mean, when you have like a couple hundred thousand people following you or a million plus, like, you just don't have time to, you know,
of course. Totally.
So I don't know. It's just, these are things I'm thinking about. I don't know. It's like an explicit answer, but like that combo of time blocking, also like noticing energy, like 6 felt good for me. Mm-hmm. I try to do like 12 or 13 in 30 minutes and I was more anxious and overwhelmed. So like really tuning into your own energy levels.
Yeah.
I think that's a good one too. But what are you thinking? Like, I mean, you know, it's a lot of stuff, so.
Yeah, I actually wanted to run one more question by you, but these things have been really helpful just because since we both have young kids and just thinking about, you know, kind of privacy and stuff, I wondered how you thought about, you know, like, okay, I'm fine with posting like my, like a selfie. I've heard you made a post recently, I think on LinkedIn about this, about like selfies do well. And I've heard that before. So, you know, things that have my own picture, that wasn't always something that I was okay with, but I'm okay with that now. But then when it comes to posting anything like with my family, I've had a little bit more of a, oh, I'm not sure about this. Like, I've tended to just traditionally just been like on the private side with that, where, you know, even at my kids' school, there was always, you know, all the schools nowadays, they have like a Facebook page, and I'll just like sign the thing that says, you know, I prefer for my kids' like photo to not.
We do the same thing. We do the exact same thing. Yep.
Yeah. And so, and I know a lot of parents have kind of no qualms about this. And I just, you know, I don't know if it's like paranoid, but I'm just like, wow, once that's out there, anybody can screenshot that and do whatever they want with it. Even if I one day decide to close my account or take down these posts, like, so that, I don't know. I wondered how you've thought about that.
Yeah. it's
because the professional side, right? Everyone says like now, you know, people don't want to just know like about your content, about what, you know, just about the tips, right? Just good, but they want to know maybe how I've applied that with my own kids, or they're just curious about like, and so I'm like, okay, professionally, I get why that makes sense to like kind of engage my audience a bit more.
Yeah.
But yeah, that tug and pull.
Yeah. I don't know that I'm figuring out, you know, as I go, and I don't know that I would always even get it right, but like, I think, so like the things I try to avoid is like kind of obvious things. So if we're in a certain location, I won't post like directly. It'll probably like, you know, weeks later.
Later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's one. I haven't posted like pictures of our, you know, our daughter, like on LinkedIn or even on my Facebook wall, like only like the profile picture is the only one, but I haven't actually, I did make a post on LinkedIn about, you know, I mean, these, you guys are listening to the podcast, you know, this, like our daughter was 7.5 weeks early. So made a recent post on LinkedIn about like why I switched to a 4-day work week. And it was based on wanting to spend more time with her. And so there is a picture from like the NICU that I'm holding her in the NICU, right? But her face is not there. Mm-hmm. Right. Which was, that was really an intentional choice.
Yeah.
I've seen people, there's an account that I follow. He has like two young girls and he'll always put like a sticker
on their face.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which I thought that's a really good way to like show that, you know, family. And then, but it's also, I don't know, like I am not. I will say, like, I'm figuring this out too, right? Like, I think about this all the time. Like, you know, what happens when she's like 16 and she's like, Dad, why did you post all this? You know, and yeah, I don't know. It's, I think about like the present and I think about the future. I don't know if that makes sense. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah. I just recently sent out a newsletter post and I decided to, a newsletter, like an email to my subscribers, and I included a picture of Lucas, of my son, who's 7. He was skating, and it was all like very related to what I was writing about, which is just about like talking to your kids when they're trying new things and how that can elicit anxiety and, you know, kind of the mindset that I try to approach it with. And so, I mean, it felt very relevant and that felt different, right? Like I don't have this like huge subscriber list but it's still out there on the internet somewhere, but somehow that felt more comfortable to me than making a whole like IG post. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, 100%. I mean, one thing, I think that's a good approach. I think another thing that's been helpful for me is like, I'll describe it like the situation, like you just said, right. Mm-hmm. And if I include a picture, maybe it's sort of like a behind or something that's like you can't explicitly see, you know. But I also try to be super careful, like I'll intentionally use like portrait mode to blur out backgrounds. But I'm probably closer to you, like in terms of just being overly cautious with stuff, you know. Anyway, this is like a to be continued conversation. I feel like, you know, but I know we talked about a bunch of stuff, but what's like one thing you want to implement and think through going forward, you know, as you make that transition and continue to transition to course creator?
Yeah, I think that one thing I want to do is just based on your feedback, really be intentional about the like time is finite, right? So thinking about what are the accounts that I really want to prioritize engaging with? And, you know, obviously like checking in occasionally about that, like that doesn't need to be a one-time decision and then that's it. But, you know, for now, like who are the people that are talking about things that are related to what I'm talking about, and, you know, and making sure to visit those, like just be more intentional about bookmarking those specific places and starting there, like saying I'm going to like engage with these accounts and blocking off that time to do that. And then, you know, maybe doing other things, but like just making that more of a priority.
Yeah, 100%. And then I think like the thing I took away from something you said was like not doing something because everybody else is doing it, right? Like, but really tuning in to energy levels. But yeah, I'm excited for you, and where can we learn more about you, about the course, and all of those things?
Yeah. So because I struggled with the course name, I just went with, I mean, like for the domain name, it's just my name. It's ElizabethPanella.com. My last name is spelled a little different than when people think. It's P-E-N-E-L-A. Like I mentioned earlier, the course will kick off in April. So it'll be 8 weeks, and I'm super excited to get it going. And then I have my newsletter that, you know, folks can certainly sign up to, that just every 1 or 2 weeks, I'm sending out these evidence-based tips to help kiddos who are struggling with anxiety.
Perfect. So, and we can find that on the website, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Perfect. Ellie, thank you so much for doing this. And I'm super grateful for you. And and grateful that we get to like do this social media thing and figure this out, you know, in real time. So appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks so much, Melvin.
Have a great rest of your day.
You too.
Hey there. I hope that you enjoyed today's session. Thank you again for taking the time to listen all the way through. If you are a therapist and you're specifically in a season where you're a seasoned therapist and you are wanting to move from clinical to online course income, we actually have a specific mastermind for therapists who are doing this. So this is basically a group of really kind and supportive therapists who are also wildly successful as business owners. And we meet together to build and grow and scale our online courses. You can learn more about that mastermind over at sellingthecouch.com/mastermind, all one word, sellingthecouch.com/mastermind. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's session. Hey there, hope you enjoyed this conversation with Elizabeth, and especially if you've been trying to figure out how to navigate the world of social media and do that and show up in a way that honors your energy, and especially not what everybody else is doing. I hope that today's podcast session has just been really helpful for you. You know, as I shared on this conversation, I'm still trying to figure this out. I'm definitely not an expert, but one thing I do realize is, you know, not being on these platforms like explicitly, we have our Facebook group, but, you know, not like I never had felt that sort of pressure to show up there. Like all the time. I think in the early days I did, but you know, I think in the last couple of years, like I've just sort of set aside a time and then I don't really think about it unless something that's sort of emerging happens. But I am, it's something I think a lot about because I don't, as someone that, you know, as I shared, like someone who struggles with anxiety, I don't want to do anything or be anywhere that makes me feel more triggered. And it's just things to definitely consider and think about. Definitely check out Ellie's course, especially if you serve parents also of anxious kiddos, or you are a parent of an anxious kiddo. Again, Ellie's course information is over at ElizabethPanella.com, ElizabethPanella.com. Have a great rest of your day, and I'll see you next time. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Selling the Couch podcast. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit www.sellingthecouch.com.
So if you've been listening to the STC podcast for a while, or you've been listening to podcasts and you've had this thought of, Mel, I would love to launch my own podcast in order to grow my business, just wanted to encourage you to check out our free podcasting workshop, which is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop. You can basically sign up at a day and a time that works for you. It's 90 minutes. And when I do these workshops or when I record them, I truly believe in quality teaching, so it's going to be well worth your time. We're going to go through gear recommendations and how to launch strategically and how to think about monetizing your podcast and how to line up your podcast with your existing offers and how to do it strategically and authentically and not salesy and slimy and all of those things. So again, the link is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop.